Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning. 8:09 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Sheriff Bob Johnson joins us by phone every Monday at this time. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Morning, Andrew.
Hey, good to have you, sir. So the one story sort of incident kind of thing that I caught with your district, your responsibilities, was I guess there was a Walton teenager who was making bomb threats against Santa Rosa County Schools.
Yep, and we had him picked up, and he's going to stand trial here in Santa Rosa County for being a total moron.
Do you ever wish that were just the statute, being a moron in the third degree as a misdemeanor?
Well, no, if that was the case, I'd have to build a jail like 50 times the size of my current one.
So what happened in this case? Did he call in a threat? It's a social media thing. What happened? It's weird, too, because it's out of district, right?
Yeah, social media thing. So, and, you know, this is what a lot of people don't understand. They hear bomb threat, and they go, well, he called on the phone, and he called the desk at front desk at Milton High School. Most of the ones coming in now are over social media.
Yeah.
These kids playing games on Xbox games. Oh, you go to Milton High School? I'll be there Monday to shoot that school up. You're going to be dead. You know, stuff like that. That's the majority of them now because, of course, all kids have PlayStations and Xboxes, and that's the way they communicate nowadays.
So the crime is either saying it or posting it, right? Either one?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be over a telephone. It's any communication device, which obviously you can communicate over an Xbox or a PlayStation or a phone or a cell phone or, you know. Yeah.
It's an odd thing. I'd never thought of it till you were just saying it, but kids these days hate talking on the phone. So the idea of a kid calling up a school is probably, you know, pretty unlikely, all things considered. Did the school actually have to get shut down because of this, or did it get to that level?
No, it didn't get to that level. We knew who it was pretty quick, so we could take care of it without disrupting any kind of school functions.
So I'm going to give you your 30-second pitch to any parents or teenagers who might be listening. What do you want them to know not to do ever?
Well, here's the first thing. Parents listening, check your kids' stuff. Check their cell phones. Check their Xboxes. Watch them when they're playing their games sometimes. And you'll hear parents go, well, but he needs his privacy. Okay, we'll give him his privacy. And when that pedophile gets a hold of him, then, you know, he's got his privacy. It's incumbent upon you as a parent to take care and monitor your kids' activities. So monitor their phones. Take their phone from them. Look through it, look through their texts, make sure they're not texting adults. And then to the kids, it's pretty easy. If you make a threat against a student at another school or your school or any school function, anything like that, we will find you. We will arrest you. We did it to the guy that was in New Jersey. So we will go wherever we have to go to get you and put you in jail. So it's pretty basic. It's not rocket science.
You know, in our house, having access to your gaming platform, having access to a phone. We were very late to let them have phones. We let them have basically phones so they could watch videos, you know, and play games, but not to actually have social media accounts or even have minutes. That came very late in their lives, like basically when they were like 16 is kind of when we waited to. But, you know, having a door on your room is a privilege. Like, it's my house.
Yeah.
And my job is to protect you and to protect people from you. You're my responsibility. You don't have a lot of real robust rights unless I say you do. That's the way it goes, right?
Correct. And I've heard people say, well, it's his phone. Who's paying for it? Does he have a job and he pays for his own phone? Because I don't think that's happening when you're 13 years old. It's your phone. And you can check it anytime you want. And if he says, I'm not giving you a code, well, you're not getting your phone back. Have a good day. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, I mean, some of these, I'm with you. Some of these rules should be fairly straightforward. I did want to ask you, because it's kind of been in the news, the training to participate in Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE training, I thought I had seen that you guys had 15 deputies enrolled in maybe what's a four-week course, but it sounds like that's not really a new thing. Can you maybe clarify this?
Yeah, we've been on the WSO. It's basically warrant service officer, where they can serve federal warrants and detainers. We've been on that program since 2019. So we're just, all we're doing is beefing up our staff that we currently have as at WSO. So it's not anything new for Santa Rosa County. We've been doing it, like I said, since 2019. Of course, everything came to a screeching halt when Biden got in, because obviously he opened the borders and nobody was deported. So, but now that President Trump's back in, yet they're ramping it back up, and we look forward to it. I think it'll be a great thing.
So it sounds like this is just, and you, I think you and I talked about this last week, but this is just a certification so that they are eligible to serve these warrants, so they have the proper training to know what's lawful and what's not lawful, right?
Yeah, so basically it's a course on federal law and immigration law, and they learn how to serve the warrants. So because you think about it, how many illegals are in the country right now? They said it was 20-something million, and how many ICE officers do they have? I guarantee it's not 20 million.
Yeah.
So they can't be everywhere at once. So these WSOs basically just step in for them and take their place to serve a warrant on an individual in our jails.
And that is, it's in the jail is where you're going. You're not talking about going to work sites or homes or schools or anything like that.
No. WSOs are corrections officers. So they don't have the normal power of arrest that a normal deputy sheriff on the road does. They're corrections officers. But this enables them through the federal system to have the right to serve federal warrants inside the jail.
Is that something that, I'm just kind of curious, is it like they get paid to do this? Is it an extra duty? Is it just part of their job? How does that work with their other job responsibilities?
Yeah, no, it's just basically part of their job. So
okay.
When, let's say I'm out on the road and I pull over an illegal alien and he's driving with no license, I arrest him, I take him to jail, they're going to book them anyways on my charge. So the WSO just steps in with another charge. Once we let ICE know that, hey, so-and-so was arrested, they'll send us and say either he's got a 48-hour detainer, which means we hold him for 48 hours with no charge, and they get him within that 48-hour time period, or they say, hey, we've got a charge. He came back in the country illegally, so we have a charge. We have a warrant for him. Then the WSO steps in, serves that warrant, and then we can keep him as long as we need to until ICE can get him.
Gotcha. Very good. We're talking to Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Take a quick pause here and get traffic on the fives with PJ.
Traffic is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call us today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Taking a quick look at the big board here on US 98 out by Navarre, there is a slowdown from Windhaven Beach area all the way back to the bridge, so be aware of that. We also have a hit-and-run crash reported at South Navy Boulevard that's been causing some slowdowns all morning. Roadway is clear, but people are slowing down to take a look, so be cautious through that area. Back to you, Andrew.
All right, thanks so much. PJ Bob Johnson's the Santa Rosa County Sheriff. Bob, I just sometimes like to get your opinion about things, and in this case, it's a bill filed by somebody I know you know very well. Representative Michelle Salzman last week filed a bill that would allow anybody 18 and up to buy long guns in the state of Florida. The federal prohibition against handguns is still in place, of course, but in the state after Parkland, part of the compromise bill that was put in place involved prohibiting 18, 19, and 20-year-olds from purchasing guns. They can still have them transferred into their possession, but they cannot purchase them from a gun dealer. I was just kind of curious, since I know you are a very pro-Second Amendment sheriff, if you had a thought about 18, 19, and 20-year-olds being able to buy rifles and shotguns.
I mean, my thought process is this. You know, I went in the military when I was 18. As soon as I got out of high school, I went in the military. So, and at 18, I was able to give my life for my country if necessary, but I couldn't buy a beer or I couldn't buy a gun. Well, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, if you're old enough to go in the military and fight for the country, you should have all the rights that an adult has in America. That's just me, though. You're going to hear a lot of proponents come out against it, and there's an argument for both sides. But here's the thing. In our country right now, you can get a gun. If you want a gun and you're 15 years old, there are some dirtbags out there that will sell you a gun, or give you a gun in some cases. So they're going to get a gun one way or the other. But if you go to a dealer and get it, the one thing you have to do is you have to fill out paperwork. You have to answer all the questions, and they know you have the gun now, which if you're going to do something really nefarious, you know, most times you don't want people to know where you got the gun or anything like that, or have the gun traced to you. So, I mean, you know, it's there's some pros and there's some cons, but like I said, if you're old enough to go fight for your country, you should be old enough to do all the things an adult can do in America.
Yeah, I always think it's weird. Like, you can't really rent a car until you're 25. That's a bizarre one. But in my opinion, like, I think people just don't understand what voting is. Because voting is what we do instead of going to war. Like, instead of civil wars to figure out what we do, we have voting. And so the idea that somebody can be eligible to cast a vote but can't be eligible to hold a gun is crazy to me, because the ability to wage war is the precursor to voting. We just do voting instead. And, I've often said that I don't understand why some 19-year-old girl has to depend on the protection of other people for her when she wants to be safe in her apartment instead of being able to buy her own gun. And I'll be honest, I oppose the handgun ban. Like, I think that's the primary weapon of self-defense that people who, you know, might be vulnerable, whether they're, weak or whatever. I want 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to be able to buy a gun because I think that they have a constitutional entitlement to it. But that, I'm glad we're making this move. And I figured you would be. I was just kind of curious to get your take on it.
I would say if they don't want them to have guns, then say you can't go into the military until you're 21.
Right.
Let's see how that works.
Yeah, and can't vote. I mean, take away the vote.
Yeah.
You know, see if you can push. See if you can do that, right? You know, that would be an interesting move. Sheriff Bob Johnson, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for the time, keeping us informed and keeping us safe. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Take care.
820 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Frontier Motors has got a huge selection of good quality used cars, about 300. And part of why I like that, part of why I appreciate them is, I don't know about you, but, you know, car shopping and driving from this location to that location to the other location, and then by about the third one, trying to remember what the first car was, and especially if you do it over multiple days, it's just, I mean, it's a mess. Plus, no offense to car salesmen, but, you know, you got to meet a new one at every place, and they got to go through their process. And I would just rather go to one place where I can drive a bunch of cars. That's Frontier. You go there, you talk to one person, okay? You drive a bunch of cars, you sit in a bunch of cars, you can sample as many as you like, and if you find what you like, you buy it. If you find something that you want but you want to pay less and you're willing to take higher miles or an older car, send them looking for it. Or a different trim level or a different color or whatever. You know, use what you learn there to, you know, keep looking. But go there as your first place. It's your first place to really try things out. You know, we bought our Honda Odyssey there because they had a car that nobody else had that we could test drive. It was kind of a weird situation just because of how Honda does their pre-owned certified and whatever. You weren't allowed to drive it until they had it cleaned up, but by the time they were cleaned up, they were all purchased already. It's kind of weird. And we weren't going to buy a car undriven, but they had one to drive, and we tested it. We loved it. We bought it. It was really that simple. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Ladies, are you looking to make a big difference in the new year? I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100, Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded over $17 million to nonprofit organizations in our community. Women 18 and older are invited to upcoming meet and mingle events, with March 1st as our membership deadline. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Excuse me, I think you forgot my bread.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you.
Most of us know our first selected superintendent came from out of town. He did not know our people, and he certainly did not know or share our values. So in less than 3 years, he was terminated and no longer our superintendent. Ironically, the average time that an appointed superintendent remains in that position is just 3 years. Only 3 years, and it's back to the drawing board. Again, starting over with the long, expensive process of finding new candidates, doing interviews, etc.
The only way we will ever have a woke, progressive superintendent here in Escambia County is if he is appointed. I say again, the only way we're going to get a woke, progressive superintendent is if he is appointed.
That was Rich Holznecht, who had run for the school board. I think he's the one who lost to Carissa Bragosch in District 4, if I remember correctly. Pardon me if I don't remember that accurately. The person before that was Neil McDonald. Talking about Tim Smith, the school board has voted 3-2 to advance another referendum 8 years into the current experiment of having an appointed superintendent. We're going to vote again in 2026, and then in 2028 would be when that starts, if it passes, to go back to an elected superintendent. It's a very complicated question. There are a lot of arguments on both sides. You know, I thought Carissa Bragosch made a really good argument when she said that, look, one of the problems with having an elected superintendent is that they're basically having to do two jobs. Run a school district, which in Escambia County is a massive responsibility. And then for the last 2 years before the election, they got to also campaign. And now they got to be full time, but campaigning on top of that, I mean, it's distracting and it's exhausting. Campaigning is itself a job, as anybody who's ever run for office will tell you. And I agree with that concern. I want a full-time superintendent doesn't have to have a second job to keep their job, you know? And I'm not emphatic about elected over or about selected or appointed over elected. I do lean that way. I see why voters want to have confidence in the person, their ability to prevent it. And like Rich mentioned, you know, the only way you're going to get a liberal is if, you know, in Escambia, if you elect them is if they're not elected, right? Tim Smith probably wouldn't have passed the, you know, Escambia County conservative test, but he did get appointed, and it didn't work out that well. Meanwhile, Keith Leonard is now the superintendent, and he's going great. I have basically a simple criteria for looking at it, okay? And the question is, do you prefer somebody who is popular, or do you prefer somebody who is good at the job? Because elected puts a priority on popularity, right? They got to go around and persuade people that they're going to do a good job. Doing a good job is secondary. Meanwhile, at least in theory, the idea of an appointed superintendent is eligibility, qualifications, capability is number one. Popularity, still important. If people hate you, you're not going to succeed. And if you're not good at it, you're not going to succeed. It's a question of which is one and which is two. And in my mind, I like the appointed, if only because I think that the school board is in the best position to monitor the activities of the superintendent and the performance of the schools, and then to make a decision about whether that superintendent or any other staff is really doing the best by the students or not. I don't know that the individual parent, the individual citizen, me, is in the best position to make that decision about the entire district. It's a hard, listen, my job is to know everything about Escambia and Santa Rosa County. If you forced me at gunpoint to name all the schools in Escambia County, I probably couldn't do it. Give me enough time, maybe. Okay, but I'm a voter. I'm an informed voter. I'm a way more than average informed voter. And I'm supposed to be able to tell how all the schools are doing in Escambia County to decide whether the school superintendent is doing a great job. I mean, maybe it's more realistic to know how the District 3 schools are doing so that I would be able to vote, if I were a Democrat, for the District 3 election. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that is a lot of information to know. Maybe it's not the ideal way to pick an experienced person. Also a byproduct of the fact that we have a school district co-aligned with the massive counties that we have, and that is nowhere the way they do it. It's a crazy system, but you can't really fix that in this case. PJ has got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Thank you, Andrew. Taking a quick
look at... Did I say PJ? It's JP.
PJ.
Is it PJ?
Yes.
I'm going to mess this up. I'm sorry so many times. Go ahead, PJ.
US 98 eastbound in Navarre. We're looking at a slowdown from the Windhaven Beach area all the way back to the bridge taking you to the beach area. Also, a vehicle crash on Tunnel Road at Chemical Highway in Milton. Roadway is clear, but that's been causing some slowdowns as well. And then finally, South Navy Boulevard. There's been an accident there that's been slowing things down all morning as well. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So we have PJ, who is sitting in for Austin, who is sitting in for John Pickens, which reminds me of a Parks and Rec episode.
Coming up after the break, movie reviews with Ken Tucker, who is filling in for David Biancooley, who is in New York filling in for Ken Tucker. Leslie, would you like to introduce...
Which is the very best parts of Parks and Rec are it's been a while since I've watched it. Who's the manager guy? I can't remember his character name. Anyway, but the NPR satire is the best. It is so on target. As somebody who likes, like NPR. I mean, it's fighting for the other side, but that's okay. I don't mind that. Anyway, so who's filling in for whom? Let's see what we got. I did want to get to Dave in just a second. Somebody says, Andrew, you should run for an elected position. Yeah, that'll never happen. A, I think I'm unelectable. B, the idea of campaigning and begging people for cash and doing all the things you have to do to campaign, it's just horrifying to me. And so I will never. And this is actually one reason why I kind of like the selected or appointed. I would never run a campaign, but if the governor called me and said, I'm going to make you a county commissioner, okay, I'd take the job, but I don't want to run for it. So you actually exclude people from the eligibility field because they either don't want to campaign or would not be good at campaigning, even though they might be good at the job, which is another reason to kind of like the elected, or sorry, kind of to like the appointed position instead. But again, this is a conversation we're going to have a lot between now and 2026. David Wayne has got our headlines for us. David?
Why run for office anyway? With all the media folks being appointed, you'll probably have your own federal agency by the end of the day. Speaking of that,
probably not in this administration.
Dan Bongino will be the next deputy director of the FBI. President Trump making that announcement over the weekend. He called Bongino a man of incredible love and passion for his country. House Republicans trying to adopt a budget resolution to set up President Trump's legislative agenda to get that into motion. It's not clear whether they'll be successful. They can only afford to lose one Republican vote and still pass the resolution. So far, four GOP lawmakers have said they're not on board with the current version of the budget.
All right. Thanks so much, David. By the way, somebody had texted me and, the board during Malcolm Thomas's regime was moot. No, that's true. If you haven't elected, you wind up having a superintendent with all the power, and then the board is kind of there for window dressing.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. Everybody in the pool, the office pool. Today's the day federal workers are expected back to the office for the first time since COVID. Elon Musk warning no shows will be put on administrative leave. Plus, federal workers have till midnight tonight to list five things they accomplished at work last week. Congressman Ralph Norman tells Fox and Friends.
The price tag that the taxpayers pay is right at $271 billion a year. Is it too much to verify why they're making an average salary of $106,000? A year.
French President Macron visiting President Trump on the third year of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. EU President Ursula von der Leyen.
We must speed up the immediate delivery of weapons and ammunition.
President Trump's special envoy says they're very close to a peace deal framework this week. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31. At News Radio 92.3 right now, we've got mostly cloudy skies. It's 51 degrees across the area. An Alabama high school football coach was arrested last week for allegedly having an inappropriate relationship with a student. Deputies in Okaloosa County say they arrested 55-year-old Robert Carter in Niceville after a traffic stop on Friday. Officials say he had an Alabama warrant, now faces multiple charges related to allegedly committing sex acts with a student in Clark County, Alabama. Yeah, he was taken to the Okaloosa jail. He's since been released to Clark County deputies. One person died in a fire in Santa Rosa County over the weekend. That happened on Saturday morning on Shimmering Pines Road. Officials say multiple agencies responded to that fire, including Pace, Avalon, Allentown, Skyline, and Escambia County fire departments. So far, there's no word on the cause. That fire does remain under investigation. There's a new offer on the table for OLF-8.
We received an offer from Tri-W for OLF-8. The number attached to the offer was $42,500,000.
County Administrator Wes Moreno, that from last Thursday's Escambia County Commission meeting. Tri-W withdrew another offer for that same amount about a month ago, and that proposal does include an earnest money deposit of $100,000, a 180-day inspection period, and closing 45 days after that. Tri-W is a partnership between Alabama-based developer Jim Wilson and Associates and local developers Chad Henderson and former Pensacola Mayor Ashton Hayward. A mobile home fire last night being investigated as a potential arson. Firefighters say they were called to a mobile home on Wales Avenue at about midnight. The trailer was 50% engulfed when firefighters responded. Firefighters say the good news, nobody was injured. There were no occupants inside of that structure. Well, there's a search underway to find a Brevard County man that may have hurt a child in Lake County. Police in Tavares say they're looking for Palm Bay 36-year-old Andre Dwayne Walker. This is part of an investigation into the case of a 10-year-old boy who's in critical condition in a hospital in Orlando. The boy was brought to a hospital Saturday with bruises and burns. His mother was arrested. Walker is wanted for being an accessory after the fact. There were hundreds of veterans at the VA clinic on Saturday to learn about benefits that they might be eligible to receive. An event there focused on healthcare enrollment, women's health, suicide prevention, and toxic exposure screenings. There were also local politicians and political candidates on hand. More than 100 VA claims were processed at that event. 30 toxic exposures were identified during screenings at the event. Veterans also had ID cards issued, and some were enrolled for benefits. Now, art lovers will soon have a new mural to look at downtown. That's going to be on a building being developed on Garden Street. It's the office for the Pensacola Division of Adams Homes. They'll also have restaurant and office space. As soon as a renovation is done, the mural will be a composite of landmark images from around the area, including the Pensacola Beach Sailfish and the Water Tower, the Blue Angels, the infamous UFO house, and a portrait of Tristan Da Luna. That was recently approved by the Architectural Review Board. 835 in News Radio 92.3, and PJ's got our traffic on the fives.
Thanks, David. This report is sponsored by Lear Capital. Our financial system is cracking under pressure. Your retirement is at risk. Take control now. Lear Capital is offering a free sky-high silver report and precious metals IRA guide at betternestegg.com. Don't leave your future to chance. Taking a quick look at the big board here, there is still a little bit of a slowdown on US 98 out by Navarre. Looking at the Windhaven Beach area all the way back to Whispering Pines Boulevard, that slowdown continues to persist, but it is getting a little bit better. Also, a vehicle crash at Tunnel Road and Chemical Highway in Milton. Roadway is clear, but slowing people down a little bit. Back to you, David.
Thank you very much. And right, it's 8:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
A wet start to your day, but those showers come to an end as you head into the afternoon. High near 64 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 51. Going into Tuesday, sunny skies with a high near 70 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 52. Keeping sunshine around on Wednesday with a high near 70 and a low near 59. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 51 degrees across the area. Cloudy skies right now. And your money now. This morning, markets are up at the opening bell. The Dow is up 138.26 at 43.5, 43.95. S&P 500 is up 16.5 points at 6,029.64. NASDAQ up 42 points at 19,566.69. 10-year bond rate up a bit, 4.439%. Gold prices today up $6.20 at $29.59.40. Silver is down 12 cents at $32.89. And taking a look at that crypto market this morning, Bitcoin's down $3.50 at $94.409. Ethereum's down, Solana's down, Dogecoin down a penny, and XRP down 9 cents as well. Tesla's recalling 375,000 vehicles in the U.S. to fix a power steering issue. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the recall involves Model 3 and Model Y vehicles with operating software prior to 2023. The agency said the issue could cause a loss of power steering when the vehicle stops and then accelerates again. The Trump administration plotting new strategy to combat egg prices. Instead of wiping out whole flocks of chickens due to a single case of the bird flu, they're looking at it being more targeted. Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller says he's on board with the plan, saying farmers know what's best for their poultry flocks. And the largest U.S.-based cryptocurrency exchange says the SEC is dropping its lawsuit against them. This could be a signal that the Trump administration plans to take a softer approach to the crypto industry as a whole. The exchange, Coinbase, said in a release that the Securities and Exchange Commission had agreed to dismiss a Biden administration-era lawsuit. That lawsuit had accused Coinbase of acting as an unregistered securities broker. 8:38, your next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Got a junk car lying around. Call the best junk man in this town. Frank buys junk cars. Frank buys junk cars. Got a car that's killing your grass. We'll call the junk car king for some quick cash. Frank buys junk cars.
850-525-2035. Frank buys junk cars.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore.
All right, so it is time for our frivolous topic, and today we have a very busy studio. So we have PJ on the board, and PJ is, of course, taking over for Austin, and Austin is sitting across him at, let's call it third base. And,
sure.
And
who's on second?
And then Meg is over here who's doing pep talk, and then, of course, you got me at, I guess I'm at home. I don't know. Technically, I'm at third base. I think PJ is at home base, so PJ, handle your role responsibly here.
I'll take it.
So question of the day has to do with the penny. You know, Trump is either getting rid of or proposing to get rid of the penny. The penny costs about 3 cents to make, and it's worth a penny, so it's very ironic. It's always been that way, by the way. The nickel, which would be the next replacement, costs like, what did we say, 18 cents, 13 cents, something like that? 14 cents to make, and it's worth, of course, a nickel, which is also problematic. But that's not my question. My question is, you see a penny on the ground. What do you do? 437-1624, 37-1620. And do you want to keep the penny? That's the other big question of the day. That's almost a policy question, so I'm cautious to ask that one. We don't want to be confused for doing substantial radio in this segment, but the more frivolous question is, what dost thou do? I don't know why Shakespeare takes over, but what do you do when you see a penny on the ground? Let's go around the horn here. PJ?
I used to pick it up. Now I just walk by it.
Post-COVID or inflation?
I found when I picked up the penny, I actually had bad luck.
Oh, no.
So it's an anti-charm.
Yeah.
All right. So PJ's pennies are cursed. So pennies from hell, we'll call it, instead of pennies from heaven. All right. So he's a no penny guy. Do you pick up a nickel?
I will do that.
Okay. So a nickel is your break point. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll talk about this later. Meg, penny?
I always pick it up. And if it's heads up, make a wish. And I always consider it to be pennies from heaven. And it's always good luck. And I actually have a huge penny jar. And then I go home and I put it in my lucky penny jar. It's a great big penny jar.
Do you ever turn in the penny jar?
So I have over the years after like 10 years, and it actually adds up.
Yeah.
What's kind of cool is that every once in a while you'll get a penny that's worth something.
Yeah, they are. That's right. Occasionally, you get a weird one in there, either a misprint or a rare, mint marking or something like that. Or these days a Canadian because they're not even in circulation anymore. Well, they're in circulation, but they're not.
I always look for the little 1 cent with the leaf on it that might have some value.
Like
So, yeah, I'm a penny keeper.
The wheat one instead of the regular?
Yeah, I love coins.
Oh, very cool. All right. And by the way, if you have enough of them, theoretically you could sell them back to the federal government and then they would pay you more than they'd split the difference with you. They'd pay you 2 pennies a penny because, it's worth it to them to not have to mint them. But that's a different conversation.
I look at the jar and I see 1,000 good wishes.
Such an optimist.
I am.
I'll buy you loafers for Christmas. Austin,
put him there too.
Pennies pick up or don't pick up?
Yeah, I'm very glass half empty with this. I don't pick it up.
Not worth your time. It's beneath you.
Yes. And here's why. Especially depending on where it can be, PJ mentioned he'll pick up a nickel. Okay.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Now, a nickel is significantly thicker. You can pick it up with your fingernail having to dig all the less, right?
Yeah, right.
So if you're on a dirty surface, especially, mm-hmm. I'm not getting down and dirty for a penny, dude.
But weirdly, the nickel is the hardest of everything to pick up because it has the smooth side and not the ridges, so there's very little to grab. Even though it's thicker,
really?
The nickel's slipperier. Yeah, I'm going to say it with great expertise.
Does anybody have a
I, too, am
coin
a numismatist,
jar?
And I will say... lightly. No, that's not something you do when you're by yourself. Anyway, so, for me, sometimes yes, sometimes no. I don't have a clear answer. If it's dirty, if it looks unshiny, it's staying on the
ground.
One
of those black pennies?
If it's a dark, dingy, nasty-looking, you know, flu-ridden, microbe-carrying penny, I'm a no. If it's a nice, shiny penny, I probably am a yes. A lot of times. I know when it was like COVID times, you know, you're like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to touch anything. And, you know, and then you feel dirty the whole different day, which is a complete overreaction to COVID. But, you know, that's how it was. Keep the penny or not keep the penny? We'll go around the room one more time. PJ, keep or not keep the penny?
Not keep.
Not keep. Wow.
Keep it.
Of course, you love it. And
keep
by the way,
gift from the universe.
Austin, don't think of yourself as having contempt for the penny. Think of yourself as protecting the powers of people like Meg to be enchanted in happy times when she finds the penny that you left behind.
That's already how I was thinking about it. I looked up. You didn't see it. I looked over and I said, "You're welcome."
Yeah. keep the penny or ditch the penny.
I'm ignoring that thing.
Okay.
But imagine how I'd react.
As a currency.
Oh, as far as keep. We can scrap it. Why not?
I think we should get rid of it.
No.
I, as a collector, as a person whose wife actually worked for the company that minted not the penny but some other coins, I think it's a waste. And I honestly, probably the nickel too.
No.
Dang, really?
What do we need? We have quarter diamond. We're good.
This is something.
Quarter diamond paper.
This is something I mentioned on Pensacola right now with Chris, and I think it went over his head. But over time. over time,
nice.
If they stop making new pennies and everything, and long time from now, they're not in use at
like
all.
Like 3 months.
Yeah, you can't find a penny anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
The prices of using a wishing well is going to go up. Did you ever think about that? Like, really? Like
wish fulfillment inflation.
Yeah, like the wishing well industry is going to skyrocket.
But you can't get a good wish fulfilled for a penny. You got to throw a quarter in there. I mean, you know, you're buying goodwill for
I don't know. They sound pretty luck-driven in the eyes of some.
We'll get your text in just a second. 437-1620. PJ's got our traffic on the fives. PJ?
Traffic's brought to you by NSEC Lawn and Pest. Once again, taking a look at US 98 in Navarre. The Windhaven Beach area all the way back to Rosewood Drive. Just a little bit of a slowdown in that area. It has been steadily improving throughout the morning. We also have a vehicle crash at I-10 westbound, mile marker 13. No roadblock, but people are slowing down in that area as well. Back to you.
All right. Thanks so much, PJ. Some of these texts, 437-1620. Let's see here. No, it's a different one. If it's heads, pick it up for good luck. If it's tails, leave it on the ground. Do you do that, Meg, since you're the superstitious one?
Well, the heads mean it's a better wish.
Love it. Somebody says
this
only...
This has been done, by the way. I'm just looking this up from centuries because they believe that metals came from the gods.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I'm not quite way off here, okay?
All
as
right.
much as you boys think that I am.
Somebody says I only pick it up if it's heads up. Somebody else says I always pick it up. Always keep it and always put it in my penny jar.
Yay! Go team!
That was Meg. She's got her phone out. She just texted
that was,
in.
That was a long-time listener, Bruce, who I appreciate.
Yay,
him. He's a military guy. Pick it up over the years. It adds up. I will do it forever. See a penny, pick it up. It's heads, you'll have good luck. I love all these superstitious people. That's great. Pick it up every single time. There is a weird sense you feel like you're being financially imprudent. You know, if you leave it down there. But I have a theory about this. I think that, raise your hand. Not, I know, Austin, you will not raise your hand. But the other three of us are all old enough to have injured ourselves in the most mundane of ways. My wife, her right shoulder was out of commission for 3 months because she put her hand up to block the sun. Okay? What's the risk?
Actually, I can relate to this.
What's the risk to your body of picking up a penny? I'd say at this point, more than a penny's worth. Honestly, probably more than a penny's worth.
So you're not looking at this correctly. So the universe is giving you this little gift, right? So if you're open to receiving that and you pick it up, you've now opened the door for more gifts throughout the day and for the future, right?
I need better gifts.
No, but if you have to open it, but if you reject that most basic gift, then you're rejecting everything else.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I mean, if there's a piece of celery on the ground, I'm not picking it up. If there's a Snickers on the ground or a moon pie, I don't care. I'm not interested.
I pulled something one time laying on the couch.
There you go. See? So I'm talking about.
I will agree.
There's a risk for picking up a penny.
We've been doing these Mardi Gras parades recently, and my arm was out of commission until around Thursday. I couldn't write
well. You got beat arm.
Because I was throwing beads.
Beat arm. Oh, that's a real thing for sure.
I picked up a penny and got stung by a bee.
See? It's science. It's science. You know, if you hadn't have been picking up a penny, you wouldn't have been stung by the bee.
You got one of the most negative nannies I've ever heard.
Where were you reaching for this penny?
Oh, my gosh.
I pick it up. Somebody says if it doesn't look absolutely filthy, a penny is still money.
Thank you.
I'll probably pick up the next one and make a wish my back was better.
There you go.
No, that's because they earned it. Florida would not invest. Oh, that's a different one. Let's see. What about a 50-cent piece? Well, sure. I mean, that's hefty. You are more likely to injure yourself, though. Let's see. Somebody says, how can you get rid of the penny when our sales tax is 7%? You have to have a way to make change for a dollar. Older I get, the farther the ground gets. It's definitely no. Somebody says, this is for you. They've got a picture of their penny jars. So.
Yay.
In these times, I'm afraid it would be covered with fentanyl, so I don't touch it. Oh, well, that's a dark way to end the conversation. Mm-hmm. All right. Not false. Maybe the $5 bill is more likely in that regard. 4, 3, 7, 16. A big mistake. If pennies are removed from currency, then everything will have to be changed by 5-cent increments like taxes. So there's no use for the half penny tax increase. It would have to be a 5-cent. No, you could still definitely do the 0.5%. It doesn't have to be a penny, but I get where you're going with that. It wouldn't be the leave a penny, take a penny at the convenience store. Are you a leaver or a taker? Leave a penny, take a penny.
I leave it.
Meg?
Leave.
Yeah.
I'll leave one.
Oh, no, I take them all. Yeah. All right, 8:50 here on News Radio. But thank you guys for the free pennies. I appreciate that. I'm Andrew McKay.
Guys, ever had a bad experience in the bedroom that totally threw you off? It messes with your head, your confidence, and suddenly it's all you can think about. Next thing you know, you're avoiding trying altogether because the fear of failure is just too much. That's where Wave Men's Health comes in. Their providers have been helping men overcome ED and providing hope even when the pills and other treatments have failed. Their proven personalized treatments have some of the highest success rates out there. No awkwardness, no judgment, just real results that bring back your confidence and that connection. It's important to get your ED treated quickly so that it doesn't get harder to treat down the road. Wave Men's Health has treatments that online pharmacies only dream about. Tonight is your night for intimacy and connection. Call Wave Men's Health today at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Your consultation is discreet and could be the start of something incredible. 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com and let's make tonight unforgettable. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Enos, this is Rush Coopy Coltrane. I got them Duke boys this time. I really got them.
Partnership School model uses a multiple core partner approach to help close the achievement gap for students and families to succeed in school and life by committing to a long-term partnership with a school district, a university partner, a healthcare provider, and a nonprofit. And whereas C.A. Weiss Elementary School has exemplified the core pillars of a community partnership school, including expanded learning opportunities, access to vital wellness supports, family and community engagement, and collaborative leadership, thus ensuring the holistic development and success of every child.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with the community schools model, the C.A. Weiss model, that's something that we're trying to expand here in Escambia County. That was kind of, it came up in the conversation around the Escambia Children's Trust and the taxing district money, you know, the money that the county wanted to take back from them because it was on the improvements in the community redevelopment areas. Kind of a long, complicated conversation, but the short version is that the school board said, hey, we need to build like five of these or convert five of these to community schools, and, you know, that's the money that we're going to use. I am hopeful that we can do more of this. C.A. Weiss, I think of as a big success. The basic principle of it is, you can look at all the problems that surround poor kids or kids who do not do well in schools, and you can say, well, we can't solve for that, or you can figure out a way to solve for it. And so by having dental and medical and psychological counseling services at the school, then you don't have to have the transportation and the parents don't have to take off of work. And you basically figure out whatever it is that kids need, and when they're not getting it, let's provide it for them at the school. Let's partner with elements of the community that provide for these things. And C.A. Weiss, I mean, it's a huge success, and it's a better outcome for these kids.
And whereas C.A. Weiss Elementary School has recently been honored with earning the award of Community Partnership School of the Year across the entire state of Florida.
Did you catch that? I did not know that until I heard Superintendent Leonard mention that in the school board meeting. Best one in the entire state of Florida.
A distinct honor that represents years of work focused on student success and well-being. And whereas the community partnership school model aligns seamlessly with the Escambia County School District's core values, addressing the social, emotional, mental, physical, and financial needs of students so they are ready to embrace the academic opportunities before them.
Again, what I like about the community schools model is the basic premise that, hey, there's a lot of stuff affecting these kids' performance adversely that we don't have any ability to fix. Let's fix the stuff that we can fix. Let's provide a resource for these parents and kids, and let's kind of, you know, help them get what they need to have a better education. It's a similar kind of thinking along the lines of, you know, not just providing meals, but providing meals either at a reduced cost or at no cost because they're not getting fed at home. Hey, that's a reality. Let's not have kids be hungry in school and can't study and learn because they can't keep their mind on the work because, you know, their bodies are malnourished. Let's feed them, okay? Because you can keep complaining about how they're not doing well because they're not getting fed at home, or you can just feed them. And I am always a little bit reluctant to bring the government in to solve any problem because government is usually the kind of the worst solver of most of every problem. But when it comes to kids getting an education and it works, I'm good. This is good.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the members of the Escambia County School Board, proudly recognize C.A. Weiss Elementary School Community Partnership School for their remarkable achievements and the transformative impact they continue to make. And we extend our heartfelt congratulations to all the partners and to the C.A. Weiss Elementary School Community Partnership School of the Year in 2024.
And I love good news. And that is like huge good news. And hopefully we have more expansion of that exact same model. 8:56 here on News Radio 92.3. We got PJ sitting in for John Pickens with our Traffic on the Fives. PJ?
Traffic's brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. Main thing that we're still watching on the big board right now is the I-10 westbound vehicle crash, mile marker 13. So just be aware of that. There's no roadblock, but people are slowing down. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thank you so much. In case you missed the announcement over the weekend, you know, we're a military town, so we talk a little bit more about military things. President Trump filed Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman C.Q. Brown, General C.Q. Brown. He also wound up firing Lisa Franchetti, who is the CNO, the Chief of Naval Operations. She was here in the summer. She spoke at the commissioning of the McCool, which was, you know, I got to hear her then. And I understand the firing of C.Q. Brown because that's something, you know, I think he's highly associated with some of the, the DEI type stuff that took place under Biden. And certainly that's what Pete Hegseth, the now Secretary of Defense, had said about him in advance. That one came as no surprise to me particularly. It's always going to be a little bit of a timing issue when it comes in a shock, but that doesn't surprise me. But the termination of a couple of the others, in particular of Lisa Franchetti, that one is weird to me because I thought she was doing a good job. I thought that she had... The biggest problem facing the Navy right now is sort of long-term competitive advantage over China. Shipbuilding, right? That's the issue for us right now. We are losing ground in this area. China is growing. They have invested massive amounts of public infrastructure and shipbuilding and repair and port facilities. We have not. It's not just that they're not exactly ahead. Depends on how you count, but they are accelerating, and we are breaking. If you want to think about it as a freeway metaphor. And that's not good. She was really doing, I thought, her best to bring organization and streamlining and a plan to try to make it better for the future. And so I don't know that this was a good choice. It's going to depend on who he puts in for the CNO who becomes CNO and then, you know, what they do. The Navy's a big task right now, a big opportunity to do it well. And, we'll see. 8:59 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We got about 30 seconds worth of future news we can do, PJ. You ready to do future news? All right, so future news, first question for you. Will we approve the elected superintendent, or will it stay an appointed superintendent in 2 years?
Appointed.
I actually think we'll vote for elected, even though I don't agree with that. I think we'll actually vote for elected. Will Wes Moreno ever come up as an actual agenda item in the next, let's say, month or two?
Based on what you've said, no.
I think he will, but I think he'll keep the job. But, you know, these are uncertain times. We'll see.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.